When you want to understand how the big wide world works, you don't look back at yourself and try to make it rhyme with what you think you already know. That means you do not ask smug, Eurocentric, self-congratulatory Bill Maher-type questions like, why are they so touchy? How come those backward Muslims can't separate their religion from politics? If you actually want to understand why some fraction of Muslims saw gratuitous insult instead of satire when the French magazine Charlie Hebdo depicted the Prophet Muhammad doing things you would not want your own small children to see, or depicting pregnant Muslims as Boko Haram sex slaves howling for their welfare checks, all you've got to do is look at two bits of history. Philosopher Karen Armstrong, in her latest book, Religion and Political Violence, goes a long way to break it down. The first bit of history, Armstrong explains, is that the notion of religion as a set of practices and beliefs about the deity, which you can perform on Sundays, separate from how you put together political and economic life, is an exclusively Western concept that nobody on earth before 17th and 18th century Europeans would recognize at all. The Sanskrit, Jewish, Arabic, and other old world terms for religion all mean something that recognizes no separation between politics, economics, and morality and moral life. It took more than a century of warfare in the 16 and 1700s at a cost of hundreds of thousands of European lives in order to establish that kind of religion in Europe which could be separated from politics and economics. That way, European elites could have slavery and capitalism. European rulers could exterminate tens of millions in history's greatest genocide colonizing the New World and still call themselves Christians. Non-European Muslims are being allowed only a generation or two, and fortunately a lot less bloodshed, to make that kind of transition, which brings us to Armstrong's second bit of relevant history. She reminds us that the 20th century's so-called modernizers in the Muslim world mostly did not do it with friendly and democratic persuasion. Under the approving eyes of the West, they did it forcibly, with secret police, torture, discriminatory laws, kangaroo courts, and especially in Iran, sponsored by Britain and the U.S., with bullets fired into crowds of often nonviolent protesters. In addition to needed reforms, like curtailing Sharia law, Turkey's Kemal Ataturk, the Pahlavis in Iran, and Egypt's Gamal Abdel Nasser each locked up sometimes thousands of religious opponents and purged them from the civil service and political life. This ain't exactly how you train people to engage in a friendly, respectful, and civil discussion of religious and political differences. It is how you make lasting enemies, enemies ready and alert for the next slight or insult. But this is the real and relevant history Americans have trained themselves not to know. Add to this the wave of armed U.S. and European interventions in Muslim lands, our puppet governments, our occupations, our torture campaigns and drone strikes, and factor in that even while cruise missile liberals like Bill Maher and U.S. presidents say, we just don't do religious war, U.S. military personnel, at the tip of the spear, as they say, call their enemies Hajis, and police departments in the U.S. and Europe surveil Muslim communities wholesale and incarcerate Muslims disproportionately. In this context, unlike jokes exposing the foibles of the powerful, which are real satire, Charlie Hebdo, which is now subsidized by the French government, is engaged in something much like war propaganda. And Bill Maher is just another cruise missile liberal, a bully. For Black Agenda Radio, I'm Bruce Dixon. Find us on the web each week at www.blackagendareport.com.